I too want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to be here in the house of the Lord, look at His Word together. It's been mentioned already that it's Mother's Day. I'm glad that we have a day where we can especially think of being thankful to our mothers. I'm so thankful for a godly mother and the influence that she has been on my life. Thankful for her faithfulness in passing on the rich heritage that we so often take for granted. Thankful for a Christian wife and her burden to pass on the heritage also. And really, I'm thankful to be a part of a church family where biblical roles are taught and practiced, and biblical motherhood is practiced. And I think the goal is to raise another generation to carry on the torch of faith. And so I do commend you this morning, and I do wish you God's blessing. I do have a few thoughts that I'd like to share with about mothers and the biblical role that you fulfill. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, says this in verse 4, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." I tried to do a little study. We don't know much about Lois or Eunice, except that they were faithful, and they taught Timothy, even in his childhood, the scriptures. And because of this influence, Timothy was the next generation to serve the Lord, and he was a faithful church leader. And when Apostle Paul thought of that, he thought about the faith that was in this family. It brought him great joy. Moving forward in time, I know that we've looked at the Anabaptist history several times, and I thought about Felix Mons's mother. She too, we don't know a whole lot about her, I guess, but if I understand right, the first service where the first rebaptisms were performed were in her home. And 2 years after that, she stood on the banks of the Lamette River, encouraging her son as he gave his life for the faith. So there is a rich heritage there. And I want to think about how you as mothers can preserve that. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 22. I'm going to share a few thoughts from this chapter, and then we'll go to Titus a little later on. In 2 Chronicles 22, we have the story of Athaliah and the story of Jehoshabeth, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. I'm going to read verses 2 through 4 and then jump to 10 to the end of the chapter. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. Verse 10, "But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God, 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. And if we read in the following chapter, we know the story of how Jehoiada the priest took Josiah and made him king, and Athaliah was slain. So in these few verses, we have the worst contrasted with the best. And I see Athaliah here representing a heritage of women in the Bible that were self-serving and incompetent mothers. Here was a mother that advised her son to do wickedly, a mother that was self-assertive, and when the opportunity arose, she didn't stop until she had killed all the royal seed, except Josiah, so that she could rule the nation. There are different women in the Bible who represent this heritage, like Athaliah. We could think of Jezebel, Delilah, Tamar. Last Sunday we thought about Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And as we think about this line of wicked women, we can see that the Athaliahs have been alive in every generation, intent on killing the royal seed. Especially stood out to me when I read this passage of scripture, how it says that Athaliah advised Ahaziah to do wickedly, and it was to his destruction. When we leave God's plan and take our own way, it always ends in chaos, disorder, and destruction. And this is no less so in our homes. And we see that in our society today. And I put a lot of the ills of society on the absence of fathers in the home. I think that's a real problem. But we also need mothers like Jehoshabeth who are intent on preserving a royal seed. Jehoshabeth represents the women of godly heritage who are also in every generation down through the ages. There have been women like her, women like Moses' mother Jochebed and Samuel's mother Hannah, Mary the mother of Jesus, who've embraced God's plan for Christian motherhood, and through this the faith of the royal family is passed on. These mothers live the will of God even though they faced opposition and ridicule at times. Like Jehoshabeth, they put their life on the line, but God blessed them, and because of them, many other people were blessed. So this question is for all of us, but since we're talking to mothers this morning, I just present the challenge: which heritage will you embrace? Will you endeavor to preserve the faith in the royal family? Or does the wicked heritage draw you? All those things that Wesley that just talked about. Those things that are self-serving. Well, I think I know all of you well enough that I know that you want to be like Jehoshabeth, living godly lives. And I know that you want to pass on your faith. And again, that's a blessing to be a part of a church family where I know that that's the way it is. But I do want to present this challenge because I believe the devil is busy. The pressure is on for the church to conform to the world's standards. And again, when we leave God's plan, it ends in havoc and souls are lost. The women of greatest power and strength are not those popular in society or those names that flash on the screens or news media or believe it's called social influencers, but rather it's those who allow God to have first place in their hearts and lives. It's those that have dedicated themselves to make a home from the house that has been entrusted in their care. Our communities are hopeless and helpless without homemakers. Homemakers who spend many hours doing the menial task of washing dishes, sweeping the floors, washing and mending clothes, rocking babies, and performing the other dozens of tasks that are a part of homemaking. No, these activities aren't your end goal, but they're a means to provide a comfortable home and raise a happy, godly family. I know that it's not your goal to be famous, but many a mother is well remembered because she graciously and willingly performed her tasks behind the scenes. Abraham Lincoln made this comment, "All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." So you can see the impact or the potential that you have to impact your family. Proverbs 31 verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." One of the beautiful things that I would like to bring out from this scripture here in 2 Chronicles 22 is that God blessed Jehoshabeth's effort to preserve the royal seed, even though the circumstances were poor. And I like to put myself into her shoes, trying to keep a child from infancy to 6 years old, hid from Athaliah and all her attendants. Imagine what it would have cost her if she would have been found out. But she was faithful, and God blessed her. And I'd like to encourage you this morning that if you follow God's plan, God will bless you. And even though our circumstances may not be favorable, if we're faithful, I believe that with all my heart that God takes these situations and redeems them for His honor and glory. And when we seriously consider it, maybe it's because of my age. Probably I didn't think about it this way when I was 20. But even at best, bringing children into this world is an act of faith. We face many obstacles in keeping them in the royal family. So we need to follow God's plan so He can bless. All right, I'd like to look at few scriptures that instruct us in the role of motherhood. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 1 through 8. I'd like to verses 3 through 5 talk give instruction to the women, but I would like to read all 8 verses. I'd like to do that to remind us all that even though our mothers are an integral part of the family unit, we all must do our part if we want our homes and communities to operate smoothly. So let's read Titus 2, starting at verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged men, aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to say of you. First aspect that I want to take from these verses, and I'm not necessarily taking them in order, but I would like to mention love. It says, love their husbands, love their children. Love is an affection. I think we all can understand that. It's based on admiration, benevolence, unselfish loyalty. It's based on concern for each other. And I know that we don't always think about each of these points when we say we love each other, but they're proven by the way we act toward each other. You know, when we're courting, or maybe when we take that little baby in our arms for the first time, it's easy to love. Our hearts are filled with the emotion of love. But we know that life doesn't stay that way. Our life doesn't stay all nice and cozy. Things try our patience. We have setbacks. Maybe the children get sick. Sometimes we get sick. But it's then that true love shines through with commitment, gentleness, and kindness. It's then that we stick together through thick and thin. This is when the instruction to love reaches a deeper meaning. It means the same as when our hearts were filled with the emotions of love, but it reaches a deeper meaning whenever we commit. We commit to love. And I know that it's hard to feel benevolent or be unselfish in trying circumstances. And I think that's where the grace of God comes in. It takes the grace of God to remain calm and serene. So we need that relationship with Him. To love means to give yourself to others. The next point is to be discreet. This would mean to show good judgment, good discernment, have good conduct and good speech. Someone who is mature and able to curb the impulses of our natural responses. And again, I go back to that example of Jehoshabeth. If she would have allowed her impulsiveness to control her, she probably would have gotten found out. But I believe she was very discreet. She was discreet in her speech and her conduct. She didn't want to draw attention to herself. And she needed discernment to know who to take into her confidence to help her with this task, so no lives would be in danger. And mothers, this morning, you have that great responsibility to protect your family by using discernment and good judgment. Next, I'd like to consider the instruction to be chaste. This would indicate purity in thought and action, free from all that is suggestive. I think right along with this thought is the idea of being sober. Being sober means to be temperate, to show moderation. Being sober gives the idea of a strong character and an alert outlook on life. If we ever needed mothers who are committed to purity, we do today. I think the moral perversion in society, it can so slyly creep into our homes, and you are on the forefront, along with your husbands, to keep it out. And just a couple dangers that we're probably all aware of, but I'll just mention them. Of course, we know about our phones and our electronic devices. You can come in by way of the mail carrier. You can come in through the secondhand bookstore. Are we alert to what is going on? Children figure things out that aren't normal, and they ask questions that need answers with discretion. And so you have an important role to fulfill in keeping the home pure. And as you do this, your family will be blessed to have a place to come to where the temptations are outside the gate. I think it's also good for you to daily ask God to put his hedge of protection about your home, your children. Verse 5 also mentions being a keeper at home. A keeper at home is one who keeps. It's simple language. A custodian, one fit or suitable to be a keeper or protector. Being a keeper at home is much more than a job. It's a noble and honorable profession, and it's of the highest benefit to mankind. Even though that you're not on a payroll, never forget that your calling is ordained by God, and you're called for this work, and the way you do it will make a tremendous difference in his kingdom. What you do will affect eternal souls. A little story that I have, I think I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. A young woman said to a real estate agent, "Why do I need a home? I was born in a hospital, educated in a college, courted in a car, and married in a church. I eat at the cafeteria, I spend my days at the office, and my evenings at the movies. And when I die, I'm going to be buried by the undertakers. All I need is a garage." In other words, all she needed was a place to sleep. This woman lived in a house, but not a home. And that is the case for far too many. But as mothers, you can make a difference. By being a keeper of your home, you can make that difference. I know that many of the tasks are mundane, yet you have God's blessing on your life as you do them, because this is his will. I'd like to speak a little bit yet on verse 3, basically the last part. I know that probably not too many of us like to be called aged, but I know that as we get older, our perspective on life changes. As your children grow from childhood to young adulthood, our role as parents and mothers does change. We move from giving direction, from giving discipline and supplying for their daily needs, to teaching or advising, as verse 3 tells us. It says, teachers of good things. I know that it's often the natural tendency, especially for you as mothers, to want to continue to protect our children or our young adults from the school of hard knocks. We don't like to see our children suffer. And it's hard to know how to help, when to help. But I was challenged recently by a thought that was shared with me, that's not original with me. But as parents, and we work with our children who are entering young adulthood, even in young adults, that we don't stand in the way of God working in their lives by trying to smooth out all the hard things. So I'll just let that challenge with you. Also, the command is to teach good things. So I want to remind you, young women, that there's a wealth of knowledge. There's a wealth of knowledge coupled with real life experiences in the moms and grandmas in your life. So don't let that go untapped. You can always get answers elsewhere. Google always has an answer. There's probably an app for that. But the human connection that comes from relationships cannot be replaced. And I challenge you to go to the right sources, godly sources, when you need help, when you need answers. So in closing, let's all be faithful in fulfilling God's call for our lives. Let's not forget to show appreciation for our mother's hard work on our behalf, especially those of us who had mothers who were intent on preserving the royal seed. May God add his blessing.